I want you to, if you would tonight, I want you to look in the book of Matthew, something I felt led of the Lord to say tonight that God may just really help us. I want you to turn to the 16th chapter, and then when you get there, if you would, slip over to the book of Acts, if you would please, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and I will talk with you a little while tonight on the church is alive and doing well. And I believe that tonight. How about you? I do. Now, there's a lot of things I don't understand, but there's one thing I'm sure. God's in control. He's not wringing his hands and wondering how this thing's going to come out. I don't think it's running on schedule tonight. And I bless his name. But let's stand together, if you would please. And I want to read in the book of Acts to begin with in verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded and put to shame, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Emulites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, and Pontus and Asia, and Phrygia and Pamphylia, and Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" And others mocked and said, "These men are full of new wine." Look back in Matthew 16 and verse 13, if you would. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Thank you. You can be seated. Our Father, we come to thee with thanksgiving. I'm glad, God, tonight that you give us physical health to be here. I'm glad spiritually put a desire in our heart to be in the house of God. I want to say, Lord, we thank you for every expression of your love, because we know that every good and every perfect gift come from the Father above. And I rejoice tonight in all that you're doing. I may not be able to see it, but thank God I'm glad you're active tonight. And Father, we've gathered under the roof of this building here tonight to do business with God. We hadn't come here to do our thing, but we've come here tonight to do the will of God, the best of our ability. And I pray the sweet Spirit of God give us direction tonight And Lord, our tongue will be sounding brass if we don't have the anointing of the Spirit of God. We haven't come here to parade our flesh, but our God, we've come tonight to lift up and exalt the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed Lord God. Endue us with power tonight, Father. This is not something we do in the flesh. You said the flesh profiteth nothing. But I pray for the endowment of power of God in this room tonight. Open up our ears that we might hear. And then, Father, may our hearts receive the things of God. You know what we'll be doing tomorrow and where we'll be going. And you know the things we'll be facing in the future. And I'm glad you can thoroughly furnish us tonight for whatever we may be facing in the future. You do it for Jesus' sake. Our God, give us the desires of our heart tonight to see an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival break out and lives change and your blessed name glorified in the midst of all of it. I want to thank you again for all that you're doing and what you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the book of Matthew, we find that he is discussing about who Jesus really is. You know the story? It's been read over and over again about Peter saying, "Thou art the Christ." Now, you've got to have a Christ before you can have a church. That had to get settled first of all. Who is Jesus? He's just not an itinerant preacher from Galilee. He is just not a prophet, as some say he may have been. He is not just one that was born in Bethlehem's barn, but he's God. And he is the Christ. And had to get settled once and for all and come to the conclusion who Jesus really is. It's a question that still today goes unanswered in a lot of realms of life. Folks are still wondering, who is this man? This one, and they can't ignore the fact that historically, 2,000 years ago or thereabout, there was a young man, our baby born, who had always been, and his name was Jesus. Historical fact, they was born, and these folks are still wondering who he really is. Aren't you glad we that are saved by the wonderful grace of God has got it settled tonight? I know who he is. He's God's Son. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I want to talk a little bit tonight about two things, and if time don't run out, I may say a little something about three things tonight. I want to talk about that organization of the church. He said here, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." I recognize that other folks had said that there's one Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet. A lot of good things said, a lot of good things done. But Elijah, he went home in a chariot of fire, but he's not the Christ. Great man. There's been a lot of great men, but they're not the Christ. I don't guess there was one that lived with a broken heart and concerned as did Jeremiah. With all his pathos and all of his love and concern for people that gone wrong, Jeremiah's not the Christ. And I can find John the Baptist, and some said, "Are you the one that will look for another?" And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'll baptize you with water, but one's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And he said, "I'm his shoe latches. I'm not worthy to lose." But he said, "I'm not the one." And the Lord God said about John, said, "Well, you know, he is the greater of the prophets. Not a greater one, but he's not the Christ." Now, a lot of these folks are just like a lot of people in the north. They're still undecided. One of the prophets. Now, I'm not sure who he is, but you know, he's a good man. I want to say this. He's not only a good man, he's the essence of good. He's God. And so we can find here, we can find there's got to be a Christ. And he said, "I'm going to build my church upon this rock." It's got to be settled in the hearts and lives of men that he's God and that he's Christ and Messiah and his Lord. Now, when that was said years back, millennials back, he knew that if it was anything that he'd have to operate in this church, he'd have to come all the way from heaven and get down in the midst of it. Could I say here, God came down to get in the midst of the church. Over in the book of the Revelation, over in the very first chapter, he said, there's one walking among the church. Aren't you glad God come down among us? He didn't stay in heaven, but he came down to be among his church. By the way, I know the Holy Spirit of God's here, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of it now lies tonight. I'm glad I've got an imminent one that's in the midst of the church. Amen. He didn't stay up yonder. He came down here to God right in the middle of it. Aren't you glad we got a class that gets in the midst of the church? I mean, here to get the work of God done among us all. He'd walk off and leave us and leave us with a hope so and a maybe so. God brought his son into this world and he got among the church. I'm glad, thank God, that he is the Son of God. That he is the intimate, not only preeminent, but he's the intimate one right in the middle of his church. Aren't you glad you don't have to come to some old dead ritual? You glad you don't have to come and go through some religious calisthenics when you come to the house of God? Aren't you glad you go to something that's real tonight? Amen. Not some religious activity, not rules and rituals. And that's the reality tonight. God Almighty come to dwell among his church. So I see that he is the class of Son of God. Now, that question's got to be answered. Before Lazarus was ever resurrected from the dead, Martha said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. She settled that in her own heart. That must be settled in the church. He's God's Son. Why, even that old centurion that looked at the Son of God as he died and may have been the one thrust the sword in his side, said, surely must have been the Son of God. And here it says, God, he's settled that. And it is a question, and it must be answered by the masses. Who is this Christ? I want to say, thank God, he's the one that walks among the church. He's the one that organized the church. And I want to say, thank God, she's here for the duration. Amen. We've got an unchanging Christ. And could I say this? Well, he made a statement in this book when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And that's been 2,000 years ago. That was a big statement, was it not? I'm here to tell you tonight, thank God he's carried out every promise he made. There's been a lot of folks coming and gone. There's been a lot of graveyards filled up. There's been a lot of pulpits that's been empty. Been a lot of folks coming and gone. I'm here to say, thank God the church is still going on. She's still well tonight. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you're not in some fad that'll go out? Thank God it's here to stay. I know we've got a lot of folks today seem to think, you know, the church is just going through so much trouble and pause, and she's struggling to get along. No, she's not struggling to get along. It may appear that way, but God still has his hand in the midst of the church tonight. I know a lot of folks just talk about the church, and see, they've come to a place that Jesus Christ and his Bible is not sufficient anymore. You gotta have something else. I don't tell you what, this blessed book I got and the price of this book is well enough. You get the job done, it's sufficient. Can't add anything to that. A lot of folks are trying to. In fact, we live in a numbers game. Give us numbers, don't care how we get it. Just give us numbers, you know. Well, I had a big crowd, I guess. What's going on now? Is it basketball, I guess, about ready to play out. And I guess they had big crowds where they're playing the basketball. And say, God is there. I'll tell you what, it doesn't make any difference about the crowd, just knowing that we're in the right church. Build on the testimony, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But I'll tell you what, when we ever come to that kind of conclusion, we're going to be faithful to God. When I find out, thank God he's been faithful all these millennials. I want to say, thank God he will be faithful. His church is not on its way up out. It's on its way up. Thank God she's here to stay for the duration. People come and go. A lot of things happen. But I'm here to tell you, God's church is settled right here tonight. And it's going to be here. Don't care how many Democrats and Republicans. Don't care how many in hell and out of hell. God's church is going to make it, folks. I know. A lot of folks feel, well, you know, things are not going like they used to. It never has been like it used to. Don't look for something you used to be. I haven't got a used to be God. Amen. He said, I am. And the Lord of them that diligently seek Him. Thank God. He's not a yesterday God. He's the God of today. I want to say thank God. He said, I build the church and hell's not going to tear down. She'll be here functioning. I'm glad she's still well tonight. It may not appear to us like she is, but I'm here to tell you she's alive and well and carrying on for God. And I know there's a lot of sorry folks as well as myself in the church, but I'm going to tell you something. God's not sorry and His church is going to be going on. Amen. Praise God for that. I want to say, why am I saying this? Got a lot of folks feel like that we've accomplished about all we can accomplish and we just beat the wind to come and get us. Could I say this? I believe you ought to live as though it may come before midnight tonight. But you ought to prepare as though it may not come to a lifetime. Amen. So I see the church. God organized that church. God put her here, and she's here to stay. I want to drive that home tonight, folks. Don't get discouraged and down and out. You keep with the stuff. I know there's a lot of folks. It's been some time ago. I came home, and I had to kind of unwind on a Sunday night. And the first way I started unwinding, it was a chicken leg. Amen. And so I was sitting there eating this. I'm about to say a snack. I just say eating. And my wife turned on the television. You wouldn't get mad if I have a television, would you? No, I ain't. My wife turned on television. And she's flipping through now. And she ran up on this young, neat little fella. Of course, needs a haircut. It's kind of got too long curled up in the back, you know. Other than that, pretty neat little fella. Had a pretty good thing to say, you know. And I said, I never saw him before. Because I'm not a television person to begin with. And I said, I've heard from him. I said, just keep it. I don't find out who that dude is. And they put the camera around the building. Lord God, it was a huge thing. My soul. And I said, doing pretty good. Let me say this. Sometimes it's not what you say. It's what you don't say. Huh? Are you listening to me? And next Sunday comes on at 8 o'clock. You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? I don't know what channel it's on. But comes on at 8 o'clock. Well, next Sunday night, because we have our service at 6, and our home usually be, because Jim don't sing all night. So I have a light say, so it goes around more. So I said, what channel was that like Sunday night? She said, I don't remember. I said, flip it through there. You'll find it. And so I found it. And pretty good. And it went on one night. We turned it on, and it was having hooting in it, I guess. Because notice when it come on, there was no singing. I mean, you know, just bam, right to it. Had a little jitter he did. Boy, had the mayor and everybody else. And then I found out his wife was a partial preacher. And so she had her little say. And then to go sing. Well, that's what they called it. Never heard such a jumbled up, beaten, bam, stuff. I said to Margaret, I said, that's the reason he hadn't been playing no singing. Because they ain't had no singing. And I found out Brother Jim downloaded something off his website and said, you don't have to preach on sin and beat folks down. Tell them how good they are. Huh? Are you listening to me? You know what he's after? You see what he did? Well, after his dad died, he made a change toward the left, or right, whichever it is. And I mean, out through the building, and now they bought the Coliseum in Houston, Texas. The old Astrodome, that's what I was trying to say. And he has 5,000 for two services on Sunday morning. That's what he's saying. And said, I just want to tell folks, they don't need to be beat around I don't tell you if that old sinner hadn't got a hold of me and beat the daylights out of me and showed me as a low-down sinner on my road to hell backwards, I'd have never got saved. Thank God for the church that says he's enough. God said when he got for that crowd, he said, you bunch of snakes. Huh? You know how good you are. Good for nothing like every one of us. Amen. Nothing good in us. In fact, Isaiah said in 64 and 6, he said our righteousness is filthy rags. I'm talking about all of us. Nothing good in us. I'll say, thank God for the church where I can find a place to get my sins. Amen. We sang that song a little while ago. My sins are not covered, but I am. My sins done got washed away. Glory to God. They're gone. I'm getting up from the church and I'm covered with the blood tonight. I say, bless his name. That's the church I'm talking about. She's well tonight. You don't need God in. You just need the book in God that'll get the job done. Sufficient. Sufficient. I'll tell you something, folks. When hell knocks the door down, that wiggling and singing ain't going to get you out of it. You better been somewhere where God's laid you in the book of God. You got something you can hold on when the fire falls. Amen. They went singing in the battle, but they had the book after they got in the battle. Amen. So I can see that organization of the church. God put it here. Put it here as an organism rather to be reckoned with. I was reading in the paper, a little Christian paper. It came to my desk just the last couple of days. And they said for the first time in politics, both sides are going to play the religious team. Well, you can listen and find out what the beat is. You see, glory to God. I'm to say this, that the church has got to be contend for. You've got to recognize it. God put that organism in a life-giving function. Now, when God give her her life, he said she's got to have some power. And so, he said, it's expedient that I go away, that I may send another. Go send the Spirit of God back in, and he shall reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. Let me back up right there. He said he'll reprove the world of sin. That's not my job. I can't do it. Only way a man will ever see himself lost without God is when the Holy Spirit takes that word, drives it in his soul. And if he ever does, I think there's such a thing as irresistible grace when the Holy Spirit of God, I mean, really drives a home in your soul and you see that sovereign God. Amen. He said, I'm going to give her power. Now, over in the book of Acts, God made that covenant to him. Said, now he said, power's going to be given. Flip, if you would please, if you can find Luke chapter 24, Matthew, Mark, and Luke chapter 24. I'll read you a little verse here. There's some question here about the location of the coming of the Spirit of God. I was reading somewhere, you know, where this controversy is. And I guess most of us have always kind of concluded, you know, that happened in that upper room, you know. Always thought of that. And I was reading one of them old Puritan writers here a few weeks ago before I preached this to my church. And look, if you would, please, in verse 51, in Luke chapter 24, verse 51, it came to pass while he blessed them, was departed from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now look at this. And were continually in the temple
praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, they did go to that room. But he said they were continually, in the temple. Now, you just kind of put that out yourself. And what I'm simply saying is this. He could have descended on those folks. I don't know of a better place for the Holy Spirit of God to come than a crowd that was, all these folks, what, 13 of them? What happened that they got to hear all this? Evidently, it must have been like the crowd. I'm not going into conclusion. I'm just saying, hey, that's a good place for the power of God to come. Yeah. Right there in the temple, y'all. I mean, all that religion, glory to God. I mean, all that crowd that's deceived and still going through religious rituals. God sent the power of the Holy Spirit of God right in the middle of that crowd. Amen. God always sends His power where it does the most good. Amen. Amen. I kind of believe that's what it was. I won't try to make you believe that. But boy, that tells me when they were continually in the temple praising God, that's before the Spirit of God ever came. But they were still rejoicing over a resurrected Lord. And brother, when the power of God came, fell on those folks at Pentecost, I want to say the clouds moved, except something different happened. Right. Well, I want to say thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that came. Now, when the Spirit of God came, he said just like wind that came. Why did he use this word, the wind that came? Well, I think we get a little better side of that. We go back to John 3. In verse 3 and 8, I believe it is, he said, the wind blows what listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't tell whence it come, or what goeth. So as everyone's born the Spirit of God, I just feel like it's this, and God says you can't dictate what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Amen. He said, you hear the sound, don't see the effects of it, but hear the sound of it. You see, there's got to be a hearing before there's ever results. Power of God fell. Now, when the Spirit of God fell on these folks, and the Bible said here, and they began to speak in other tongues as God gave them utterance. Now, some conclude, and I'm going to go on as fast as I can here, but some conclude, you know, that those disciples spoke and the Holy Spirit of God interpreted those words when it hit the ears of the hearers. Well, that's not what the book said. He said they spake in other languages. That's the reason why that crowd said they got drunk. Because a little while ago, these folks are speaking the Hebrew and they understood it. And now they're speaking some other language and said, well, that's gabber. And I hadn't heard they done got drunk. What am I saying? I'm saying when the Spirit of God comes, this world will recognize that something unusual and powerful that happened. Amen. Boy, that's what we need in the house of God now is a fresh feeling of the Spirit of God. We don't need another Pentecost, but I'd like to see the one we had catch a fire in the church today. Amen. Folks got where they're ashamed to praise God, afraid of the power of God, afraid that God don't do something unusual. I say we need a good breath of the power of God on us. You know what? The thing that will get the attention of folks outside these walls is the power of God. We stay behind these walls and preach till we lose our voice and sing till the piano gets out of tune. I want to affect that crowd a bit. But you let the power of God fall. You let the Spirit and the power of God fall. And boy, there's going to be somebody taking note. So take note. These folks recognize God's own. Well, we need that kind of power, do we not? We need the power of God in the church today. The kind of power of God to stop folks to stop and listen at God's doing something. And by the way, you don't have to put that in the paper when God moves in. Amen. You don't have to put up big billboards on the side of the road, God moves in. Because the best agent I know is the Holy Spirit of God to get the job done. Let folks know that God's there. Amen? So the power of God came. Now, he said, come on in like poles and tongues. And that messes a lot of folks up. What does it mean by poles and tongues? Well, there's a law first mentioned. You go back when tongues was first mentioned. It is in Babel, was it not? In fact, they called it Babel after that because of the confusion of tongues called Babel. Because that's all, well, just babbling, you know. I mean, one couldn't understand the other. And that's true. I mean, if you speak another language, I don't speak that one. And if you speak another one, I can't speak because I just barely got this one. And I couldn't understand he babbling to me. And these folks, hey, they're just babbling. Don't care when these cloven tongues come. You know, babbling there, brother. God comes straight now so a man could hear about redemption in every tongue. That's what it's talking about. I'm glad, thank God, it's available to men. God made it available through His church, and man can hear the gospel that will redeem him, change him, and, hey, make something out of him. That's the church's work and business tonight, is to be filled with the power and the Spirit of God to tell the world the lost and undone without God. Amen. Well, that's what we need, the power of God, not confusion. But we need folks to find out, hey, God speaking hearts and minds of folks through His blessed Word. Well, God gave the church power. No other force like the power of the church. Are you listening to me tonight? There's no other force, no other power like the power of God's church. Can I say it? If we'd live right, spit right, and walk like God wanted to do, that'd still be the authority of the church and our community like it ought to be. Amen. We need a mouth, and we've let our bars down, let everything in the world come in and do everything they please. Somebody said a Baptist church, easiest thing to get in and the hardest thing to get out of. Boy, that's about right. What we need is the power of God in the church, brother, to set a fire. There's not a force. Not a force, that's the power of God's church. I believe that tonight, folks. I'm saying this, that God can take that church He birthed, fill her with the power of God, and she can be noticed and reckoned with as a force in this day. If I didn't believe that, that's got to close my Bible and go to hell. If I didn't believe God still could, and I believe He can, church. Amen. So I see the power of the church. Man's tried for centuries to close her down. She's still going well tonight. Amen. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give up in the battle. Don't give in the battle. Just say, thank God, we got a promise here. God filled His church with power. Said the gates of hell not prevail against her. And she's going to stand till she's all over with. That's the reason I'm going to identify myself with a local church. Somebody came to me some time ago and said, Brother Lockie, don't it disturb you? Some of these churches are taking Baptists off of their name. I said, no, bless God, I'm excited. Because they're not Baptists, let them take it off. Amen. Amen. I mean, some folks went, you know, we ought not to be branded and identified. Well, I'm glad I'm identified. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist tonight, folks. Amen. I'm not like some of that crowd, bless God. Quit wearing ties and wearing t-shirts and sandals. They're not my kind. Take a sign down. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm from that old school. Bless the Lord that believes in the book and the blood and the blessed hope. Still believes the power of God will get it done. Still believe that men ought to live right, walk right in this world, and lift up a stand while lost and dying world can see there's a difference. We don't need to blend in, we need to stand out like a sore thumb, been saved by the grace of God, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, a different life. Men can see, hey, that's what I want. You know why our generation is dying on drugs tonight? They're looking for help, and the church didn't give it to them. Every young man in this country that's been popped with needles or blown up his nose or whatever was looking for something to stabilize them in a world that's unstable. I want to say, bless God, the church has got her tonight. Amen. Bless the way of not blend into that world. Let the world know, thank God, there's something different among God's people. Amen. Well, let me close with a few statements about the third thing tonight. I'm glad, thank God, one of these days is coming back to the church. Amen. I bless the Lord. Ephesians 5 said, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. You know what he's talking about, husband and wife? I remember barely. I remember back down in 1948 when I proposed to Mrs. Towery at that time. We got married a year later. I remember that. You know what I've done? I was anticipating a bride. Now, the Lord said, wives, love your husband. Well, that's all it says. Because a woman's temper, that's all she can do. Huh? Wives, love your husband. But he didn't tell husbands that. He said, husband, love your wives as I love the church. I'm going to tell you something, we'd do that, there'd be a whole lot less divorces. A precious lady called me this morning. In fact, I stayed on the telephone from 8 till 10 o'clock. I don't have a call. But one lady called me, and she said, preacher, I want you to pray for my brother. Going through a horrible, horrible divorce. She said, you don't believe it. I said, yes, I can. If you want to find dirt, sir, you go through these divorce calls. God didn't, that's even God said, I hate divorce. I hate it. Now, some of you may have done that. I'm not fussing at you tonight. I mean, you understand. You don't want your kids have to go through the mess you had to go through. Don't care what, there'd be less divorces if men would love their wives like God loved the church and gave himself off. It perturbs me when I hear some of these folks come by, Bobby, and say, I've lost my love for her. Her hand makes me want to. Little old things. God said he loved us enough to die for us. Yeah. You know what? He's anticipating one day to be with us. Yeah. Look, if you would please, at Calvary, see the suffering of the Son of God. It's beyond us. We can't fathom all the suffering that Christ did.
Right.
Never will be able to. And you know all he's getting out of that? Oh, sinners saved by grace. All he's getting out of it. You know all he wants out of it? Sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. All he, boy, that, I'll tell you, that just flabbergasted me. When I found out, thank God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wanted me. Amen. I'll tell you, thank God, he's anticipating coming back for the church. I'm anticipating him coming back too, aren't you? Yes, sir. I want to say, thank God, if we're looking for the bride to come, we're making some preparation for the wedding. Amen. You know what you're doing? Somebody said the other day, they're fixing to have a wedding, and said they're going to have about 40 people in. I mean, somebody had to do some calling, didn't they? That's what we ought to be doing as children of God. We ought to be getting everybody to be in the wedding again. Amen. God's coming back one of these days for his church. How do we feel the power of God? How have we doing Jesus' work? Loving God, trying to get somebody in the wedding party. He's coming back. All he wants is me. Praise God. I married Miss Tower, who then become Miss Lockie. I didn't marry her mother. Praise God. I didn't marry her brothers and sisters. How they're coming for her. And that's who I took when I left. And that's who God's coming after. What a day that's going to be. When God fixes that bride some years ago. Little boy come ask me to marry him, and I sit down and talk with him, you know, on the floor. And He is like I am. He wouldn't. Best thing ever put on a white shirt. And he can cut his hair and clean up and still like Lot, you know. And I'm saying this with all humility in my heart, the Bible was much better, you know. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Makes all kinds, you know. And we came out from over here that day, parked up here, you know, this old tradition, I don't know why they do it. You know, and it's supposed to be the bride, so she walks in the door back there. And they got all the party in here. They went through them songs that nobody could understand, like the candles and all that stuff. No boy standing there as nervous as I was. I had father got everything ready, the door flew open back there. Somebody on the outside hit them bells about so many times. And I opened that door and I said, son, you're in for shock. And he said, About that time, her and her papa stepped out outside that door. He said, Lord God. He had never seen it like that before. I'd already got a fire, already got a preview of it. And I knew what that old boy was in for. And he'd get more than he thought he was getting that day. Amen. Why, I tell you, that bride got that white on, the veil and all that stuff. And I mean, it helped her. Amen. Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God, when God finishes up, we are now the sons of God. And it does not yet appear, glory to God. What we shall be, we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a day that's going to be, blessed God, we get dressed up in our marriage film and stand before God. What a day that'll be. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak when battles are won. He'll shout the victory right to the blue. Yeah. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. Yeah. I'm looking for that day, thank God. Yeah. When God comes out to His church, have the battles and conflicts of this world, and say, well done, my child. Come up hither, it's over with now. You fought your last fight. You've had your last disease. You went through the last battle. Down through the last battle. Thank God, come home, young man. Woo! What a day it'll be when God comes for His church. Come home, children, come home. What a blessed day. Hallelujah. That's why. Way back up down at the foot of Mount, where snow was probably on the top of the hills, God stood with that little bunch of disciples and told them about His church. Because they had in mind one day to come back for. Hallelujah. So I'm looking for that day. How about you? I'm looking for Jesus to come back. But until He comes, I want to be faithful in His church. I want to walk with God in the church. And I know there's a lot of things wrong with her. She's got a lot of things right with her, too, brother. Amen. You say, well, you know, I could do better. There wasn't many hypocrites in the church. You do pretty good that crowd you work with. The more, a bunch of them down where you work, aren't they? Best place to be is in a church. Living for God and being faithful. Let me tell you this in closing. Some of you tonight ought to be a candidate for the power of God's Spirit on your life. You know, the reason so many people in the church are under such pressure, so much anxiety, you're trying to do in your energy the thing that only the Spirit of God can do.
That's true.
You live under that kind of pressure. You are not made to carry that load. And the reason you're having such a difficult time, you've got it here. But you need to hear. We're trying to get a supernatural thing done by natural means.
You're right.
And we need the power of the Spirit of God on our lives.
Yeah.
We need not to have God such on our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Baptists has got, they said, well, you know, I'm going to have to fool. If you are the power and influence of the Spirit of God, you'll never have to fool. God's not a foolish God. God's never caused anybody through the power of the Spirit of God to be indecent. Never. But what our churches need today is a good baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. That's going to make a difference in your community. It'll make a difference in your home and start there. And then it'll make a difference in your church.
It'll
make a difference in the community. God, may His power fall on His church. God put her together, every working organism you need. God put her together. Amen.
Yep.
Every church that is not an illegitimate church has a full body.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of illegitimate over there.
Yeah, come on.
I believe every God-built church has got a preacher, a pastor. They've got everything in that church it needs to operate. Because God said that.
Yeah.
I believe God bursts it in His church.
Amen.
But what we've done, we've got organized without an organism. Boy, we need that life-giving force. Power of the Spirit of God in our lives. And by the way, it'll make a difference with the folks you work. They'll notice something's happening in your life.
Let
me ask you tonight. Would you really like to be where God wants you to be? Feel the Spirit of God. Power of God on your life. Won't you stand if you would please? Heads bowed. Eyes are closed. God, speak in your heart. You need to get in this heart and say, dear Lord, I know I'm saved and I'm in the church. But I'm lacking that power of God on my life. Lord, I really want the power of God in my life. God can do something for you. God can do something for us. With the old God. Fill us with your power. Lord, this community, my family, folks around me, they need me filled for the Spirit and power of God. Oh, what God wants to do, this church. Will you alive? Just for saying, God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your power. God can make you a bride if you plow not when it comes back.